look at the common verses. After your man here in the room, we'll see how we go. Thank you for coming out. The Lord was gracious enough to open our facility so that we could have a larger meeting than we had in the past, and we're glad to have you all here. Sorry we don't have those nice soft chairs, but you know, we're ready to come before you as we can. I'm going to start by letting the board introduce themselves. Oops, Paul's here again. Give me a second. All right, I'm going to start on this end of the room and let you know these are the folks that have been out here kind of organizing what we're talking about today. I'm going to start with Pat Manning.
So, yes, I'm Pat Manning, and I am also serving as the treasurer for the committee. There we go.
Hi, I'm Diane Bartlett, and I live in Travis Landing, and I've also been a real estate broker in the area for 15 years, and I'm also serving on the committee.
My name is Gary Hazley. I've lived out here 25 years plus now. In Hudson Colony Neighborhood Association area. Joined this committee to help do due diligence on this effort. I spent many hours researching issues, don't know all the issues. Tons and tons of documented city, yada yada. So we're working on it. Thank you for being here.
Hi, I'm Barbara Wilson, and I'm just sort of helping the committee with different local government questions and how to forecast some of the financials.
My name is Monty Akers. I'm an attorney with the Akers and Akers Law Firm. We're municipal lawyers, and I'm here to help. Hopefully guide y'all through the legal process.
Hi, I'm David Holmes. I worked in the Texas legislature for a long time, so I'm primarily here just to be a resource to you all. I'm also running for Travis County Commissioner Precinct 3, so because of that, I just want to be hearing what all of you are thinking and feeling about this set of issues.
Hi, I'm Gilbert Franco. I've been here in Hudson Bay about 3.5 years now, before. And really found this to be a passionate adventure. The first meeting that I went to was the one that are on 620, and saw the people that were excited about the possibility of incorporation. So getting involved in it. Appreciate y'all being here. Gilbert Franco.
Thank you. Alvin Powell Design, Minneapolis, Lenton Bound since 92. This is a passion of mine, and I've been looking into the pros and cons, and I can see definitely the cons of this, and they're going wrong.
One more. Cut off at the knees here. Well, anyway, I'm Alton Norm, and I'll take this. You'll know who I am, I guess, when I give this brief history of the of this effort. And the way it started was on Facebook when it was about 75 people in the Hudson Bend group. And then we had five issues that we thought were interesting. I always have to look at the list. Dogs, crime, the mosque, the motocross track, and incorporation. And at that meeting, several people here attended that meeting. And if you pursue incorporation, you can't mix that topic with any other meetings. So our next meeting a month after the first one was about incorporation. Our two guests were Monty and Barbara here, and that was at WCID 17, had about 30 people. And then after that, a month later, and we had a pretty positive response to that, and so we figured we'd do it again a month later, and that was a meeting at Precinct 2. And there are varying reports of how many people you can count in the picture, but let's say from 80 to 100 people there. So, and we had a pretty decent response to that too. So that's where we're at now. Okay.
I'm gonna pass around a clipboard and ask you to sign up with an email address or phone number or something so that you can be notified if anything's going on. If you don't want to, you don't have to. We're just trying to encourage a full list so that when things come around, you have the opportunity to voice yourself. The group today is going to talk about what we've done so far. What we've done so far is a group. We
You're going to hear some things you like and don't like possibly, based on what your desires are, and that's fine. We're going to give you the opportunity to speak as well after they present their portion of it. I think there's one gentleman here who would like to present his half of what's going on, and we'll give him the opportunity as well. And we'll ask you to come up to the microphone. If you're in the back, I'll come around with the microphone. Give you all the chance to voice your opinion as well. So with that, I'll turn it back over to
I guess my name's, hello. I guess we'll use this microphone for the most part, but the others work, and anybody can pick up a microphone at the table. There's also the microphone on the front. Well, we'll let Vic run the Q&A session. It really depends on how many people appear to want to speak. We'll usually give a minute or so. I guess we'll settle around a minute. So you get to get your point across and then ask your question. So it's mainly about asking the question, but I think you can get your point across too while you're asking it. About the clipboard and the mailing list, we would like to have the mailing list just because we don't feel that posting on public media necessarily reaches everybody, but we promise not to sell anything. We like the email around. And that way we can be proactive about contacting you. But that's about it. It may be interesting in the way of background that we've been contacted by a couple of other areas. We look into that. Originally, we really wanted to keep it to Hudson Bend. There's some interesting possibilities inherent in those other areas. And if anything develops there, we'll let you know. It's a long process, and investigating this sort of thing takes time and money. So we work on it slowly. I think we'll move in the direction of the Q&A. So first, let's let Charlie have 3 to 5 minutes, and we will really keep very careful time. I'm sure he's gone over in his head already what he wants to say. So have at it.
All right. Hey, everybody. Charlie Galt. I'm one of y'all's neighbors out here, and I just kind of stand with y'all that each and every one of us, as property owners and residents of Hudson Bend, should have a voice. And unfortunately, as this thing has progressed, we've taken the Hudson Bend set of mind, for the most part, which is we either didn't know about it or it really was not a concern to our day-to-day life. Well, we felt that it was important now with it coming out in the media and the fact that the committee back behind us has officially contacted the city of Austin representing us, that we need to get involved and let this committee know what the desire of the Hudson Bend property owner residents should be. And so with that, there was a select few of us that were like-minded, and we came together and formed what we're calling the Hudson Bend Property Owners Alliance. It's not a club, it's not a committee, it's not a dues paying deal. It's nothing more than a group of like-minded property owners and residents here in Hudson Bend that want to unite together to better our community, but also keep us from having government imposed on us. So that's kind of what we started as a beginning. Where it goes to is strictly up to how this community wants to come together and move forward. I hope that the website that we started, HudsonBendLife.com, if you haven't been there, please go check it out, becomes a daily local resource for all members of Hudson Bend and people looking to come out of Hudson Bend. We've set the framework for it and started adding in restaurants, local churches, the marinas, the different HOAs out here. We're going to add the local musicians and artists out in the area, as well as try to keep you updated with different organizations, committees. I know we had a garden club out here. I didn't know existed until about 6 months ago. So we wanted to become a resource for everybody. In the interim, we are using it for the Hudson Bend Property Owners Association, so you can go there and get updates as we gather more information. Hopefully all of y'all here today have questions, and I hope that this committee can answer them. I know I have many, but I won't take everybody's time, and we'll allow everybody an opportunity to talk, right? So anyway, I thank y'all all for showing up. It just does my heart a lot of good to see that the people that dedicated effort to get the flyers in your hand and meeting notification have bear fruit, and we hope to see more and more of this as time goes. Anyhow, I do have some business cards up here. I call them business cards. They're just the Hudsonville Property Owners Alliance cards up here. If you have not gotten one, please grab one. It'll tell you how to get to the website and just a little bit of information to us. Anyhow, thank y'all again for coming.
Basically, we'll go to the Q&A. I'm using a different speaker here, but it seems to work. Go to the Q&A. We don't mind you asking multiple questions. Just you ask your question and then let somebody else ask. You go to the back of the line. If the line's got two people in it, that's fine. Then you're next. You just make it happen. We can start it now. Vic will take care of it.
I think Vic's got one over there. Just a second.
My question to the committee is, how did we get to this point? What might be a good idea, the incorporation, seems questionable because of the way we've gotten here. Having gone already to Austin, the city of Austin, it started this ball rolling without any consensus of the neighborhood. And I'm not saying that it's not a good idea. I'm just saying that I question the way that the committee seems to have gone about it. And maybe the committee you all open the door without any. I mean, look at the number of people that are here. This is even a small representation. I was at the last meeting. I thought that was just the getting feedback to see if you should go forward with it. And next thing I heard, y'all had gone to the city to, take steps to have it incorporated. So that's my question, is how we got here.
Okay. The question about how... The question about going to the city, and we can let Monty speak to this in more detail if he wishes to add anything to this. You can go to the City of Austin website and download a form and ask to be annexed. And similarly, you can go and ask not to be annexed. And that's what we've done. You're welcome to ask a question too. So we feel that there is a sentiment for this. However, in the law, it's almost a formality. Basically, it is a formality because we know that they're going to say no. The actual next steps are much more rigorous. And so, if anybody, would you like to elaborate? Sure. Try that microphone.
I think a lot of you already know this, but let me walk through it for some of you may not. Because y'all are in the extraterritorial jurisdiction, ETJ of Austin, the law doesn't allow this community or any community that's in the ETJ of another city to incorporate or to have an incorporation election. To just call the election as a community could do if they were out in the county in the unincorporated and non-ETJ areas. What the law says is that in order to incorporate when you're in another city's ETJ, you have to either have the permission of that city or you have to roll the dice. You have to request that other city annex you. And once you have formally done that, and it's not just something that one person does, it requires a petition signed by the owners of 50% of the property. Not 50% of the owners, but the owners of 50% of the property in the area that might be incorporated. to petition to be annexed. And then the city, in this case Austin, has 6 months to say yes or no. If they say yes, they have to then do it. They can't just say, yeah, we're going to do it and not. They have to go ahead and make the plans and spend the money and do whatever it takes. If they either say no or they don't say anything, then after the passage of 6 months, by operation of law, the community has permission to incorporate. What that means is you have 18 months in which to get a petition for an election to your county judge. The county judge calls the election, and then everybody in the area to be incorporated votes up or down. So what has happened up to now, as Alton said, is just asking a staff member, and they have two or three staff people who work on the annexation process, ask them, I guess the question was, can we incorporate, can we get permission, not formally, not by petition, not by anything else. In other words, get staff to look at the question and get back to us. And it is possible that they could have looked at that and said, no, we don't think we're going to annex you, or we think we can give you permission to annex, to incorporate. But that's not what happened. They looked at it and said, no, our recommendation would not be to let you incorporate. So that was a step that needed to be taken. It's not anything that's statutory or spelled out in the law as to a particular procedure. But it was something that I think everyone involved in this would see as a necessary step.
Next question.
Yes, my name is Marcia Paisley. My husband and I moved out here in 1987. And I think really what we all want, we want Hudson Bend to be like it was when we got here. And I really wish we could go back to 1987. But what I hope and what I believe that I've seen on the committee, I know I've seen my husband read hours and hours of law and papers every day to understand how all of this works. Whenever this committee started, it was months ago, this was not done. This whole thing was not done in the basement of Tony Soprano's office. This was done out in the open, and no one is trying, at least in my understanding. I think we all want the same thing. We don't want government breathing down our necks. We don't want to pay huge taxes to anybody. And I think that really what would help this meeting is if we would just be able to hear some of the facts the committee has found, and then we can decide if we like them or not.
Was there a question there? Okay.
Okay, my name is Nathan Gibson. I've been on here over 10 years, I've got a couple of properties again. And my big issue, number one, is that there were three meetings before I had to do any meetings on this issue. Secondly, this group in front of you does not represent me. I think the focus should be finding out. And then I'll go with the flow. But then go to the city of Austin and start making big media splashes on what Hudson Bend moving forward, blah, blah, blah. That's not me. I haven't been asked that question. Hudson Bend property owners haven't been asked that question. I've never seen a government that got started that did not grow. So if you allow Hudson Bend government, trust me, baby, it may start out small, but it won't stay small. I say there's no compelling reason Austin wants to annex us, and there's no evidence that they're going to annex, it's imminent that they will annex us, And I want to be for something, I'm for status quo.
Involved before that. I didn't know anything about the first meeting. I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on Nextdoor, I'm not on any of that. Then next time around, I got a postcard in the mail for the meeting at the outside of the dam. And there were a bunch of people there. And the only way I found them was the postcard. I mean, they spent the money to send out their money to send out postcards to 1,200 registered addresses that they found. They went through a lot of work to even find those addresses. And I mean, it started real small, and it's grown up. And nothing has been done that is official at this point. We went out and asked a question, and they said, we don't think so. Nothing else has happened until now. What happened to me, I also say, and now we're looking for something. But so far, that's where we're at. Nothing has been done to represent the law of law. We're still on the stage of this talk.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I have to go through these again. That's what I'm with. I've been trying to keep in touch with what's going on. I'm sorry, I got here a couple minutes late. Did you explain the plan?
No.
I'm on the committee, not representing our homeowners, but I'm just trying to stay in touch. Did you explain the plan, Matt?
No.
So I'm trying to address, I'm just a minute. I'm trying to address Nathan's remark that there may not be a planned annexation. If you will look at this map, and the link is going to be on the website, and it comes from the city of Austin, and it says planned annexations, and Hudson Bend is on the map in the middle of a huge. It almost takes up all of southern Travis County, and it's going into other counties. So we have a lot of information that we've been doing a lot of research, have a lot of information from the city of Austin and from Travis County, links on our website that explain that Hudson Bend is on the planned annexation map, completely surrounded by other areas. The only areas on this map that are not in the planned annexation or already surrounded by the city of Austin are the white areas, which are the incorporated towns of VK, Lakeway, Valente. Everything else is completely surrounded. So I think we should, there are two different things going on here. One is people don't want to be annexed by the city of Austin, or maybe they do. But there's the map from the city that tells you Hudson Bend is planned to be annexed. I'm sorry. It says the title of the map is planned.
Next question.
Read the map.
Is that on?
The canary?
Yeah,
I want y'all to remember what Mr. Gibson said. I agree 100%. When you all go and talk to the city on whoever and whatever, and you're normal lawyers, and you're getting way ahead of us, and I think the majority of the people around here wanted what you want to achieve, but maybe years away. You're running too fast. Wow.
I just have a smashing idea, and it will let us all go home and get ready for the football game. My name is Carol Sykes, and I've been out here since I was 5, and believe me, that was a long time ago. But I have really a good idea. I'm too old to see this happen. It's not going to happen as long as I'm alive. Thank God.
Yeah.
And we could all go home and save this very busy committee a lot of time if they would first have an informal, not anything in the line of love that would hold us, just have a very informal polling of all the property owners.
Yes, yes.
You all could take out where you left off if it said if it's yay, if it's nay. Think of the time when you say it, and you can go have fun.
Yeah.
I have to say something. I say that when this started, you may have been there from day one, or you may have heard about it yesterday. And that is partly because of the money we've spent and we've gotten in the press and then people have sent flyers and, we spent money. The first mailing went to homeowners of record and then the second went to mailboxes. And we've tried to do it in different ways. No matter when you heard about it, we can't control that when you heard about it, but we're doing the normal process that goes on in these political processes, which is spend money on advertising and get the press here. And we've been fairly successful along the way. You may have read it in the paper, or you may have found out about it on your mailbox. We got some unanticipated assistance, but it has been interesting. So, like I say, once you learn about it and learn all the facts, and there are many more facts to come out in this meeting, then you can either be angry about it, or you can decide, yes, we do have a disagreement maybe on the timeline. Let's find out all the facts and see what the appropriate risks are. By the way, it is almost required reading material for us to read Carol's book, and we have purchased several copies from her. So we can hear the history of Hudson Band. So I appreciate that.
Can you hear me? My name is Christina Rogers, and I've been here since 1978. My father owned a business, my mother owned a business, on Hudson Band. The problem with what the committee has done is the fact that you have gone to the city of Austin stating in your letter, first sentence, "We, the undersigned, represent the citizens of Hudson Bend." You represent a small fraction of the citizens of Hudson Bend. Majority of these people did not have a clue that any of this was going on, and that's why people are upset. You've gone against what the Bend is about. The Bend is about community. We help each other, we inform each other, we talk to each other, and that's what it's about. I think that's why everybody's upset. I really don't have a question. I just needed to make that statement because y'all did go to the city of Austin without everyone's, permission.
The meeting that we had, that was done was this the Travis County meeting, okay? We asked, or he asked, after the meeting, when everybody had listened to the presentation, asked several questions about several different bracket of involvement in internal taxes, and there were hands that were raised at that point. So you take it from here and tell them exactly what went down, and it's on video on the website.
Well, it is in the recording. After the meeting at WCIB 17, there was an awful lot of interest in the topic. And then at the end of the meeting at Precinct 2, I asked everybody, and these can be very dangerous, open-ended questions, but I said, how many people are interested if we have to raise your tax? I said, how many interested in incorporating if we don't raise your taxes at all? And basically everybody left raised their hands. I'm not here, there's some who didn't. I said, if we have to raise your property taxes 10%, how many people are still interested? And still basically everybody raising their hand, maybe a few less. But anyway, once you listen to the facts, and I don't believe we should spend too much of the meeting defending the letter we sent the city of Austin. If we will get past the anger of it and start getting into some of the meat of the facts about annexation and the budget, if you looked at the handout and that sort of thing, we don't want to gloss that thing over. If you're angry about it, keep going. But these meetings in the past have been very productive exchanges of information. And if you will kind of try to put the anger aside and get to the facts, what are the taxes, what's happened in other cities, and we have the people here who know about that. They know about legislation that's coming up. We have all of that for you. And so I'm just trying to encourage that sort of exchange of information.
My name is Richard Van Buren. I've been out here since 1991. I think it would be helpful, I don't think everyone's had a chance to read anything and may not know the reasons or some of the primary reasons why we're pursuing this, and I just think it might be good for some of you guys to review just these certain issues that River Place has dealt with, Lago Vista's dealt with, just to give some an outline of why we're even pursuing this at all.
I'd like to grab the microphone.
Is this microphone on?
Yes.
So,
yeah, but you got to speak louder.
Can you hear me at all? Okay, very good. Tried to take notes here. I'm old enough to break my train of thought. I'm like Rick Perry in the presidential conference. Anyway, how did I find out about the first meeting? Well, I saw down by the side of the road. What's going on? I was busy, frankly. I didn't have time to go. I did go. Listen to what was going on. I did see, different speakers. This is the water quality district. What's going on here? This is an interesting idea. What's the second meeting? Again, I'm thinking, I'm kind of a skeptic. Every idea cannot be great. Where are the people who think that it is not a good idea? Quite frankly, we contacted Carol Sykes 4 or 5 months ago with regard to this issue, and quite frankly, have not heard much until about a week ago. So where have you people been? Where have you been? Glad you're here. I want to hear your issues.
Before
you send
the letter,
no reason to be condescending. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be condescending. I really do want to hear what are the negatives. I really want to hear what the facts are, the data, the facts. We've got lots of opinions, and I can see there's a lot of emotion in this room. Sorry, you can stare me out as long as you want. But I do appreciate, I can see people are furious. Seriously. And I don't like that, but I can see we've got a lot of energy here. Let's be polite. I will be calm. And we can move on.
Next question. All right. Very quickly, first of all, the letter that they're referring to, if y'all haven't seen it, it's on the HudsonBend.com website. It is also on the HudsonBendLife.com website. You can go to it, read the content yourself. What Christina stated was exactly accurate. And contrary to Monty Baker's statement, Virginia Collier is not just a staffer. She is the City of Austin city planner. She's not an elected official, but don't be fooled. She is not a staffer. Planning and development. She is the city planner for planning and development, so don't be confused by that. Question for the committee. Her response back, when she denied their request to be released from the ETJ, their follow-up question is, so when do you foresee Austin annexing Hudson Bend. And the answer was, if I am accurate, 30 to 40 years. There is no imminent concern of Hudson Bend being annexed. And there is a lot of information to support that. But that's beside the point. I just had a quick question for the committee. Regardless of what the community has to say as a result, in terms of majority, does this committee intend to pursue incorporation regardless?
I'd like to speak. Can I speak to that? Okay. All right. So I've lived in Hudson Bend since 1985, and I have watched it change tremendously. And I'm nervous being up here. Could you repeat your last question so I can answer, make sure I answer?
Yes. Regardless of the outcome of the majority of the property owners and residents of Hudson Bend, does this committee intend to pursue the corporation regardless?
Thank you. Thank you. So let me just answer that question. I also want to answer the first question that was asked because I'm not sure it was answered correct, you know, completely. So let me just answer that question, which is the committee has not decided to take any specific action at this point. The only thing that we did was a formality, which I happened personally to agree with, and that was to ask the city of Austin to release us from the ETJ. It's a formality because Austin is not going to release us from the ETJ. That's a no, that's an automatic no. That's the only. So anyway, that's an automatic no. We are not released from the ETJ. They're not going to answer yes to that question. That's all that's happened to date. I wanted to also answer the first question that was asked, and that is, how did we get to this point? Well, there was a meeting that I did not attend, a community meeting, and then I saw a sign in Los Pinos and went to the meeting that was at the Water District. And I recorded that meeting because normally when I go to homeowner association meetings, I record the meetings. And so after the meeting, I approached the people who presented, which were Monty and Alton and Barbara, and I said, is it okay if I put this on the website? I just happen to own the website, hudsonbend.com. I've never done anything with it. And it might be a nice way, because I just happened to see that sign at Los Pinos, and I thought, my goodness, you know, I just happened to see that and know about these meetings, but what about getting the word out to more people? So I volunteered that website and said, here, take it, I'm not using it. Use it to help communicate to people. And then I also said, look, I can send postcards. But I cannot legally send postcards to anybody who is on the do not mail list. So if you were on the do not mail list, you could not have received a postcard. Or if your property tax records were incorrect or incomplete, then I could not send you a postcard. But I spent the time and the money to try to dig, and it's very hard. You can't search for the city of Hudson Bend online or the area of Hudson Bend. You have to like hand pick out all the little street addresses to try to get addresses to send out the information. So I tried very, very hard to get the information out to y'all. And also attended, because it was open to all of us in Hudson Bend, the homeowners meeting at the Hudson Bend Colony. And that was before there was a committee. And Alton actually approached Charlie at that meeting and said, hey, can we talk about the possible incorporation of Hudson Bend? Charlie said, no, we don't want to talk about that. Don't bring that up. And so that was on May 2nd that Charlie, being a director or whatever he is on the Hudson Bend Colony, knew that we were talking about Hudson Bend Incorporation and talking about the possibilities. So that happened on May 2nd. Later, Alton asked me to join the committee, and I said yes, that I would help out with that. And my interest in being on the committee is I have now researched, and I hope that somebody's going to present it in detail up here, but I've researched now the history of annexation. And what I found out is that Austin does not announce in advance that they're going to annex. They only post the planned annexation after the fact. So for example, the waterfront owners who are across the lake over here along Comanche Trail, they were annexed recently. Just the shoreline, just the lucrative property, just the waterfront owners. I'm a waterfront owner, and I know that if Austin annexes me, my taxes are gonna go up quite a bit. And I'm not gonna have local control. It's gonna be somebody in Austin who controls what's going on. So that's my interest in being on this committee. Thank you for letting me talk, and Monty, go right ahead.
Let me try to clarify that this committee cannot go forward with the incorporation on its own. It's a democratic process. It takes the owners of at least 50% of the land to petition being. So even if this committee wanted to go forward, it can't do so. And it hasn't even started the petition process. So unless you've got somebody in Hudson Bend that owns a huge tract of land, it's going to require more than 50% of all the individual lots and tracts in Hudson Bend to even get the petition to the city. If you're in the ETJ of Austin, and the law assumes that everything that is in the ETJ of the city will be incorporated. That's the purpose of the ETJ. So, there are one of three things that is going to happen. Either you're going to be annexed by Austin, or the law is going to change, or you're going to incorporate. One of those three will eventually happen. You can say it won't happen for 30 or 40 years, but nobody knows that. A city like Austin has a requirement to have an annexation plan that identifies only certain properties, those being properties that are essentially built-out subdivisions. 100 or more lots upon which at least one residential structure exists. When they target one of those built-out subdivisions, which doesn't apply to Hudson Bend, then they have to put that subdivision in a three-year annexation plan. You're not in a three-year annexation plan because you don't have to be. If the petition was submitted tomorrow, the 6 months would start to run, and Austin could or could not decide to annex you. Historically, the decision on whether or not to annex, I am told by people who have been here a long time, by Austin is political reasons. It's not based on, you know, how much tax base or how much money we'd have to spend. It's a political reason. And I don't know what the politics would be in Austin. But you've got those three options facing. And you're going to have plenty of opportunity in the petition process and then possibly in the election process to just say no. But this is an opportunity for everybody to have their say. And I've been through a lot of these incorporation procedures, and the things that I've been hearing are very similar to what I've heard in other places. You know, you don't speak for us. How dare you speak for us? Well, I've observed these people trying their best to get the word out to everyone. That's the whole purpose of this meeting. So, you know, I encourage y'all to speak your mind, but remember those three options are what is going to happen. One of those three. The next question.
Wait a minute. Can you have a comment on that?
Councilman, ask me a comment on just that legislative angle that you mentioned, that the law could change. It's an important thing to consider, but I also wouldn't hold my breath for it to change too dramatically, just because there have been many attempts over many decades to change the law. There have been more moves to do it recently in a more dramatic way than there have. It came a little closer this time, I guess you could say. So one thing that happened this session, for instance, is that, you know, a bill has to pass both the Senate and the House. In the Senate, a bill passed to require voting of those being annexed. That did not pass in the House. And so at the next legislative session, that doesn't mean it starts halfway there. That means it's got to start all the way over in the process. Now, one thing you've got to know going in, just as you're calculating all of this out, one thing to keep in mind is that a very powerful force, that's all of the all of the cities in Texas combined, are for keeping annexation the way it is. Because like he described, a city can go in and annex something in its ETJ of its own will. It does not require voter approval at this point. And the next time it goes before the legislature, there's going to be that same conglomeration of every city in Texas fighting a major change to the way this is done. So while it is possible that something can happen, I think it's probably the third option of the three that he laid out that are likely. You've got to be prepared for every single one of them and not count on that legislative thing, even while you try to do whatever you're trying to do in the legislature.
Next question.
Anthony again, recent resident. Question for the folks that spoke with Virginia at City Boston, who said City Boston doesn't plan to annex in 30 to 40 years. How binding is that statement upon the City of Boston?
I'll give my response.
I was at that meeting. I'm not sure if I asked the question. I heard it. But the preface to the meeting was, this is an informal set of meetings. We want to talk informally. We want to find out what you think. So when I heard the 30 to 40 years, I thought, look.
Virginia Collier said it.
Okay. I'm Joanne Rogers, and I live with my father, Charles Rogers, who's lived here since 1980. And he was on the HOA as vice president for like 1.5 years. So as he and I were sitting and filling out questionnaires, he stopped and he looked at me and said, why do anything at all? He said, you know, we've lived this way for so many years, and seemingly, you know, everybody's been okay with the way things have been. And he said, I'm going to coin an old phrase. And he said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I have to point out that change is inevitable, and it is indeed our goal here to not be annexed by Austin because we don't think we would like that kind of change, but to really not do anything else. Unfortunately, because we lose the maintenance of the roads, we have to pay taxes. The amounts of those taxes and the interesting figures like those have not even come up yet in this meeting. I hope that they do because we put quite a lot of work into that. But at Precinct 2, somebody got up and they asked the River Place HOA president, and they said, is this the right time for Hudson Bend to do this? What was your experience at River Place? And he said, we were apathetic. We didn't think anything would ever happen. And then it did. And they're not very happy about it. So we're trying to display a little sense of initiative here. If we held the vote today, we would, of course, lose. That is the purpose of these meetings. We have a very high hurdle, both in the petition process, it's 50% of the landowners, and I believe also 50% of the voters, which, if I'm not mistaken from reading the law, we have to get 51% of each of those just to get an election to have 51% of the voters. So we have double hurdles to jump. There's no way that we could pass the first one today. We're just working on that. And as we do it, we're happy to have your input.
Ms. Rakers, this is a question for you on City Hall.
when the meetings that we listened to, because we've listened to them on the tapes, one of them, your question was, is who wants to be annexed by Austin, not who wants to be incorporated. Is that correct?
That was
it's on the tape. Okay, the other thing is that this is all pertaining to you, actually. Are you a paid attorney for the incorporation committee?
I am now, yes, ma'am.
Okay, are you going to, doesn't this promote a revenue stream for your Acres and Acres by your selling us on this incorporation? I mean, if you aren't paid, would you be sitting there and defending this incorporation process?
You may wear out the human, the first one that you need. From April until September, I have a
closer.
Let's say, about a month ago, the folks made a decision, or I made a decision, to go ahead and start representing the group for compensation. From April until August, I was just helping out. But yes, absolutely. That's how I make my living is by having clients.
Next question.
Yeah, hi, my name's Tom Rogan. I heard a couple questions about facts. Is there a place for both of these groups to go to find out their considerations and their facts, and where those facts came from?
There's no more real questions at the moment. I think we would Vic,
we have an answer to that question.
I'd like to let the committee tell you some of this information that will answer some of those questions that have been asked or proceed to ask, and then we can continue the Q&A here. Would that be fair?
At that point, my name is Patrick.
Hello, Patrick.
Nine-year resident, came out here for the empty nester.
Can't hear you.
I was kind of laughing a lot of that. I wanted to get that feedback. My name is Patrick, a nine-year resident out here, came out as the gray-haired empty nester room. We have developed a 7-page overview handout to provide information in terms of our philosophy, the part, our analyses, examples, website links to refer to, because we want you to be in the know, because we want you to participate. That is not saying whether you don't need to go one way or the other. Everybody who gets polled needs to be informed, of course. That's why I have dedicated myself to get more accurate info out and in-depth and insight and compositions and ranges to evaluate. My first meeting was in a big meeting in late May, and I unraveled this in for a couple months, and now I got actively involved in August. To that extent, there are seven pages. The first page is an overview, and it's handoutable. Okay. Talks about what we talked about. City Boston annexation, timing, impact, how we are affected, potential high-density development, even without the city, and a little St. Clair management style. Second page, briefly, is just, again, high-level information. It has lots of fine print that we cannot go through, but it lists all the taxing entities out here, even ones that wouldn't be changing with or without annexation. Okay? We look at what's happening currently, what happens to the Boston annexation, or Hudson Bend by itself independently. The general impact in simple math, and the math never stays simple. The simple math says, as a quick example, if they're taxing you on the value of a $300,000 house, the difference between what we foresee as a small village would do for towns like Glendale, which is an existing example, versus the city of Austin in today's time frame, then the dollar amount comes up to be around $1,140 difference. Okay, that's round numbers. The actual numbers change a whole lot more because what the city taxes upon, what Austin Community taxes upon, Austin Community College, which automatically joins in the city of Austin for a double dip on an impact there. And what we do as a village, which we're proposing or setting our examples based on what Travis County does right now in terms of taxation, because we're familiar with it. So that's a reasonable baseline for comparison. And that's how we came up with that kind of an example. The following pages have some of the historical timelines as we understand them. We cite web links. We have pros and cons of incorporation, of which I think you're all in tune with, and et cetera. The fourth page is simply guidance, because it's those screenshots of the city of Austin with planning websites. So you can get a picture of what the city of Austin itself is saying. Page five is some simple examples. It is not simple math. I'll be willing to stay here and work from now through October with anybody that wants to go over some of these complex details. The general trend is, though, City of Austin tends to provide less of a discount on exemptions than what Travis County does. Austin Community College tends to provide less of a discount on exemptions. What do I mean by exemption? Homestead, senior citizen, disabled, etc. So that is the general trend that they have higher tax rates as well as higher tax values they charge against, if you will. If everybody's not math oriented, it's hard to rattle off numbers in this kind of a setting, but there's a consistency. Let me try to give an example of payback. Everybody's sitting saying, why should I be taking this medicine to prevent something bigger happening later? It costs me money. That's my crude analogy. When we do this kind of a first insight, and I encourage anybody else to come up with more examples of participation, please. I'm doing the homework mostly alone. I think it's mostly accurate. But that's one person thinking. I want people to come in and participate. Break even tends towards being, if the city of Austin holds out for 10 years, then it's about 12 years of Hudson bedtime taxes to kind of get to the break-even point where after 12 years, you'd be paying a lot more out of your pocket in Austin than you would be to a building in Hudson Bend. Did I kind of simplistic? Yes, or I'm lost. Give me a group. Yeah, I kind of get it, or I don't get it. Okay. And the sixth page is not a swag, not a simple wild guess, but it's our musing on, given how much property to be taxed upon based on what Travis County already does. Not TCAD, not the appraisal group, but county itself. Those are two different entities. What the county does, if we emulated that, what kind of tax rate would we need to make some kind of a budget range we think we're going to hear about to cover road expenses and some administrative expenses, etc. That example is on there. It also says what we understand in terms of sales tax from businesses to help augment property taxes. When you get down, looking past that, I also tossed in City of Austin tax dollars that would go against Hudson Bend's version of taxable value, i.e. Charles County. And if they come in, rather than Hudson Bend Village taking in something well under $1 million, it's more like 400 to 800, what do we estimate that? We'll put a range in there. City of Austin is going to be coming and taking closer to 3 million. And Austin Community College, another half million on top of that. So,
only if that's going to be.
Only if, right, this is all if. We're just planning efficient, having a benchmark of things to work upon and get our arms around it. You know me, Dan knows me, being a past HOA president. I have an interest in this, and I have an interest in getting a reality about it. Part of the reality is can be found in numbers. Part of the numbers are realities of trends, as has been discussed earlier. Who has control, and for how long, and what can you do? I won't go on that at all. Others have. But the examples here have been studied. Let me throw in, just so that I mention some round numbers of budget items, mins and maxes, and seeing what that implies. And so the boils, and on the page 7, I got just some reference sheets of what TCAP, the appraisal district, what they list in terms of tax rate for villages, and an example of what Austin Community College does, which in some cases, Austin Community College, taxes are really low, to my surprise. When I first looked through that, I thought, oh man, they're jumping higher than the city of Austin on what they can. But this question of math, so again, the math was not trivial, but it was not complex and hard. It just takes work to dig through, which I have done. So we have intentionally developed this to provide you insight. We want you to participate. We're not trying to make end runs or anything like that. We're trying to be open and see what makes sense. At some point, I'm not here to see that it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, then yeah, walk away. But so far, what I've been looking at in depth, it is still is making sense as a trend. We have to keep going on this. Going on what? I'm digging in, getting more info. We need you to ask more of the relevant questions because we're only human. Maybe there are things we haven't quite considered yet. I think of what we have already considered before anybody else who's dug in and looked. We're at that point. That's where we're sharing. We want you to know.
By the way, this spreadsheet, I was a little bit busy this morning, but I will post the spreadsheet on the website hopefully shortly after I get home, and then y'all can have it in electronic format. I know that the brief is kind of tiny.
Out of a $580 million in taxable value have come up with for the almost 2,000 properties out here. My one example I did to show you what goes on, I confess I made a $40 error out of $1,000. When I found it, went out already. So again, it's a work in progress, but it's realistic. Thank you.
That young lady has a question.
Hi, my name is Carol Johnson. I've been out here 13 years. I checked that now. So I'm not exactly a long timer, as some of you are, but I chose to come in on purpose. Kids that are in the school district, et cetera, et cetera. What I have for this committee is more of a question, and there's a question about some place to look that had neutral, maybe, information compared to the two groups, and I'm not in either one of them. I'm just a homeowner out here in a subdivision. So Community Impact did a decent article, and that's where I first paid attention to what was going on. They had this committee, they had something about they had the city's response, and then they had the committee that was saying stop. So they had both perspectives, and then they had information from the city. So if you don't get Community Impact, you might want to go look at it. I think it did a good article to give you more information. Now to this committee, my questions are, first of all, do you have homeowner representation from the homeowners associations that are here on this committee, and have you contacted them?
Yes. You get a question, and then you get a follow-up question. That's your question? You don't get my third more question.
Does anybody mind if I ask my question? There you go. First question.
I would like. Could I have Charlie answer
the question? No, let her speak.
Okay, to one of the questions, Charlie should answer it.
I mean, I can stop, but it seems like, so my question is, did
you answer?
Contact the homeowners associations that are here? And is there a rep here from each one? And I mean the Colony, the Reserves of Hudson Bend.
So on the committee we have, what's yours called?
It's not a homeowner.
Travis Landing, Hudson Bend Colony.
I'm saying, are you a representative of the homeowners?
Yeah, there? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Okay, no. That's what I'm asking. Maybe I wasn't clear. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No,
I am not a representative of my neighborhood association.
That's
I am a director on the board. I did communicate with my neighborhood association 5-6 months ago. Is that not correct, Charlie?
Yeah.
So, and I've offered, if you ever see me, speak me up, ask me questions.
What was the other director's vote against you? Do you remember?
What was the other one?
It was recently. What was that vote? How many directors voted against you?
How many directors voted against me? Oh.
So there are no representatives from the homeowners associations that are up here on this committee. Is that correct? That's the first thing. All right. Second, are any of you on this committee developers?
No. No.
Question. Just checking. I want to know. Are all of you on this committee homeowners in Hudson Bend?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, great. Death by technology. I've spoken before and I won't speak again, but what this group is hearing from this group is that there's an interest in having a knowledge of what the hearts and the souls of the Hudson Bend property owners think about getting incorporated before we put the cart before the horse and charge forward. Most of the information that's coming out of this group today has been the technicalities of how to get incorporated. Well, guess what? We don't know yet what the people of Hudson Bend want. So I'm excited that you're excited about getting incorporated, but I'm waiting for you to get excited about wanting to know what's in the hearts and the minds of the people, that own property on Hudson Bend. Big deal.
Next question.
Hi, I think this will probably follow. What is the timeline of the vote for people to vote? Hopefully it's before you go and ask them, go ahead and incorporate us. That's what my concern is. So what's the timeline on that?
Well, like I said earlier, if we had to vote today, then we would just lose. There's a petition process and it has a very high bar, and we would just lose. And that's why we're having these meetings. That's all we can say, that we're going to have meetings, that we're going to have.
What's the timeline?
To have the petition?
I'm not sure how to answer the question. You don't go to a petition that you know you're going to lose. You don't go to a vote that you know you're going to lose. So we're going to continue to have community meetings. I mean, this one is what we would call a large meeting, but we were going to have this meeting like a month from now, but now we're having it now, and that's fine. We find ourselves going through the same and getting new information in each meeting. We're just going to keep having the meetings. We're just going to keep having the meetings until we know that the people have decided. If people want new information, they want to know what's going on. At this meeting, there are many people that have never been to a meeting before. It will be the same at the very next meeting. We're going to keep having meetings.
Alton, as a follow-up to that, I can say, having settled this meeting on this council, talked about, we have debated what timeline is. We can't set a timeline. We want to find out the information first to see if it's even plausible for us to do this. And then have all these meetings. That's why we developed this information, to give you the insight of what's going on first. Then talk about what we want to do and see what the community thinks about it. We are not trying to do this right now. We want to get the information out to you guys first.
Jerilyn Ward.
My name is Jerilyn Ward, and I'm the president of my HOA, Woods of Lake Travis, and I've had neighbors come up and ask me about this. I think it's very important that all this be completely transparent, and I've had some questions about where the money for funding this is coming from. And if you want to be transparent, I think you should tell us who are the top three donors behind this that has allowed you to buy all these postcards. Yes.
Actually, other than the work that Monty's done for free, the first set of postcards was paid for by Diane.
It was about $700.
And then $755.
And then Gilbert found a way to do it cheaper. So, yay, Gilbert.
Gilbert owns a printing company, so he has a little bit of an advantage. But the next set was paid for by Gilbert, and I don't know the breakdown on that. And so, to date, those have been our major expenses.
Hey, once you let us know who our donors are.
Donors.
Well, those are donors in kind. We have one. Those are donors in kind.
Yeah.
They donated something. We have somebody who donated $1,500. She's on the committee, actually. She's not here, Barbara. And Barbara and Kona, for the record. And
we just
Pat knows all. Pat knows the details.
Well, we know that.
Pat's our treasurer.
I'm answering that question. So the first is it turned on?
Yes.
Okay. We have Barbara Conlon, which has donated $1,500 in cash. We have Paul Keller, who has donated $1,000 in cash. And
across the cove here.
And then we have the rest of us have been $50 here, $100 there. So that's, that's our two biggest ones. And we, that's all I can tell you right now.
My name is Lynn Jelensky. I've been here for a little bit more than 5 years. I have a very simple question asked. I'm not sure who knows it. If you look at the numbers that we've just seen, and thank you very much, because it's very useful to have some numbers. The huge piece of this is the assumption of how much the roads are going to cost. My question is, how good are these numbers that it's only going to be $350 to $450 a year?
No, one at a time. Let the breath.
Sorry, let's properly address the questions in order. We'll be happy to take your question next. So all we can say is that we believe in a minimalist style of government. We do not want to change Hudson Bend. It is unfortunate, but state law says that we have to pay to maintain the roads. And for that, we have to have taxes. You can have a volunteer city secretary. You can really have no staff. However, in Valente, their volunteer gave up after 6 months. You can have part-time employees. We haven't really addressed that. But assuming that you need a city secretary, and you also have the ability to hire a code enforcement officer, which is nice because it lets you have your own codes instead of letting Travis County and Austin enforce them as they see fit. These are the best things we can tell you is that we want to spend as little as possible. We want to preserve it as much as possible. It is a defensive move against the city of Austin.
The estimate is for the largest, by far, fraction of cost, which is the cost of roads.
That's directly from Precinct 2. Directly from Precinct 2. They maintain the roads here in Precinct 3 in this area. And we've got that same answer twice.
Our next question.
Yeah, the property owner, I'm Jeff Cornell. Nancy, built the house over there on Paradise Cove area. And granted, all this property owner needs to know about this for sure, but does this affect businesses among them all?
This is the reason I mentioned the code enforcement officer, because Austin has some very heavy-handed ideas about enforcing code, and often they are not very business-friendly. Now, we're not going to say, okay, let's hire one for about 16 a year and then throw the environment to the wind. But for example, I would use this example. My neighbor, it's tiny little hut on the corner, and because she turned it from a little hut, house into a business, she had to take the septic tank out and put a new septic tank in. It cost quite a bit. It was $10,000 or $15,000. I know the guy who did the septic work, and there wasn't a reason in the world to do it. I mean, the lady weighs 110 pounds. But it's that kind of common sense approach that I think that we could bring on the business front. Then again, we're not trying to skirt any environmental. We have Gary there to make sure that we follow the straight and narrow on the environment.
Our next question.
We just moved here. Jane isn't here previously. So, and I really am kind of just getting your information. But what if we approach this like, okay, let's keep having these meetings, but let's set a poll in 6 months to where this isn't an ongoing battle argument. I think that for me, I would like to know that there at some point will be a firm decision. I stand on the fence. I don't know my opinion yet. But what if we came up with a neutral few people who got together and hired a poll company? I'm not sure the details of that. But what if we had a timeline in a year, in 6 months, in 8 months, whatever, that we can all agree on as homeowners that we will have a decision. And if you haven't, you know, get out the word to everybody. And if that hasn't happened, because I feel like this could go on forever. And if we're all about community, and I'm new here, so I love it, it's the community, but if this is just going forever, it could be really quite miserable to not know, or which side are you on, which side are you on? It's too much drama. We don't have a deadline for a poll. That's all I'm saying.
Is that it, Rebecca?
No.
Let me kind of respond to that. If a petition process ever starts and has not started yet, then the law requires that it be completed within 180 days. I understand. In other words, you've already got a 6-month window built in if you ever get to that. Beyond that, this is the first of the meetings that I've attended where there was definite opposition, and I think that's a necessary step. But what I'm observing, and I'm not from Hudson Man, but what I'm observing is that people are becoming aware and taking steps to act. I also predict that nothing's going to happen very soon because there is obvious opposition. With regard to the legislative effort, I'm the former director of legal services with the Texas Municipal League, which is that group that opposes any change to annexation laws. And it's not just all cities, it's home rural cities, of which there's about 320 in the state out of about 1,250 cities. And the reason they oppose the change is because studies have shown in states where you have to vote to agree to be annexed that people don't want to be annexed, they don't want to pay the higher taxes, therefore they refuse to be annexed. The city grows anyway and runs out of money and you have inner city blight. It just seems to be what happens. But as David indicated, the movement against unilateral annexation by home rule cities has been growing since 1999. There have been successive efforts that have always been defeated in the session, although each time there's been a little more progress, if you want to call it progress. For instance, in this latest session, the legislature passed House Bill 4059, which punished the city of Brownsville, because Brownsville had annexed property unilaterally in a way that certain legislators did not think was correct. So you always have that hanging over your head. The legislature will punish you if a city does the wrong thing. But if you want to go online and get a feel for the current tone of the debate, go to YouTube, put Senator Phil Graham annexation in the search box, and view the, that's how I looked for the three videos that he had posted. He never sent it to Phil Graham, U.S. Senator, former U.S. Senator. He has taken it upon himself to lead the charge against what he calls forced youth annexation. He's rallying the troops, the legislative leadership. So it's entirely possible that in 2017 the law will change. It will not, I don't expect, take away the current ETJ situation. Cities across the state of Central get too much money on their ETJs, in their ETJs, anticipating future growth into their ETJs for the legislature to throw all that money away. So my anticipation would be that even if the law changes, it's not going to change in a way that will reverse the likelihood that one of these days Austin is going to annex Edson again. Annexation is a big process. It's not an easy process for a city like Austin. It costs them a lot of money. So the longer you wait, the more prepared Austin can get. And I really think that's all these people on this committee have recognized and are trying to reach out and communicate to all of you. They want your help, they want your feedback, they want your opinions. They are neither trying nor do they have the ability to force anything down your throats. If they had gone to Austin and Austin had said, yeah, we'll release you from the ETJ, all you've got to do is ask, then they would have brought that information back to you, told you about it, and then there would have been the election process. And you could have voted up or down, for or against, incorporating as a city. But that's obviously not what has happened.
Our next question, thank you.
Hi, my name is Cynthia Molley. I've lived in the area since 71 and lived in Venice since 82. This is pushing me beyond my comfort zone, talking in front of a bunch of people. But just some food for thought on the budget the next time maybe you present this, is to look at some additional items that may be involved in other smaller cities. For example, election costs, appraisal district fees, insurance, office supplies, traffic safety, signals and signage, municipal court, judge, court clerk. Then my other question was a follow-up of how many miles this money gets you in what they call hot mix overlay each year. And then two questions. Would Travis County Sheriff's Department continue to provide law enforcement, or would an incorporated city have to have an interlocal agreement?
Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, answering the last question first. You are in Travis County. You are under Travis County Sheriff's Office. You do not have to form your own police department. The other small cities in this area, you know, some of them have, that are very wealthy, like Westlake, and some of them have not. Lindy, been incorporated for over 12 years, has no police department. When we have special events, as some of you may have attended the 4th of July, which is a very large event out there, and as you know, in Valenti, we have one way in, one way out. We do hire off-duty Travis County Sheriff's Officers to control the traffic so that it's not gridlocked, and so that the folks don't get to their homes and get out of their streets. Okay. In regards to the budget, we, with Linda Dolan, who came and left early, I don't know if you got to hear her, along with the treasurer, have gathered up budgets from several small cities that represent sort of your per capita, based on the theory that you want minimal government, all right? You can, let's take apart some of the questions that you asked. We are getting all of the TML insurance costs, because you had a council, they have to be bonded. If you have employees, they have to have insurance, all right? We're also looking at any costs we're dealing with, you have to find a little local with FEMA. So we're researching all that, but it does take some time. In regards to municipal court, usually the city secretary can be one and the same. You don't have to have two employees, and you just bring in your judge when you need it. Lindy has had a municipal court since 2004. Now, it is now 2015. How many times do you think we've had a case in Lindy?
None.
Come on, none. She's absolutely right. Zero. Okay. Right. So certain costs for if you have a police department that's writing tickets, you're absolutely right. We're going to have a municipal court judge, and we're going to be, it's going to be the code enforcement, usually in small towns that do not want, you know, people nosing into every little angle of their life and how they do things. You know, you can contract with that. In Valenti, I created a contract with, if the vendor happens to be ATS, but there are other vendors out there that you can solicit this bid from, where they do the building inspections and code enforcements and, you know, and review of building plans, all for a flat rate for a certain number per month. And that was based on our build out rate that we're doing right now in Valenti. So you can negotiate things. And so, like this line right here, for code enforcement is very high. Very high. We're paying $12,000 for all three funds. So it's going to be up to y'all. It's going to be you as a group coming together and deciding before you even get the code enforcement. One of the big advantages of incorporating is zoning, is protecting your zoning. I'm an old Houston girl that came up here in 1970. Houston, we don't have zoning. So next door to my mother's beautiful townhouse, they built a 13-story office building. That's Houston. And that's what you get when you have no zoning. The county does not have the ability to give you zoning. When you incorporate, you will have the ability to create your own zoning. So if you're curious and doing your research and doing neutral research, you should go and look at all the city of Austin's zoning categories, because that's what will be overlaid on without your input. Okay. Does that answer,
Dan,
all of your questions?
Our next question. Actually, I want to respond to a couple of comments that were made out here. I'm a fourth or fifth generation native Austinite. I grew up out here on the Highland Lakes. It's been my life's blood, and I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. I've only been a resident out here just over 3 years. So, those of y'all who've seen Hudson Bend from the original farm country that it started to what it's become today, has happened because people desire to move in this area. Why would we want to stop somebody else from having the same opportunity each and every one of us had to move out here? Because that's part of what people are wanting to do. They're wanting to move in, close the door behind them. How would you like if that door was closed in front of you? So consider that. Next thing I want to address had to do with the petition, the poll. A survey that we managed, there were less than 10 of us. In a matter of 3 days, we reached over 1,200 homes with that information. How many of y'all, by show of hands, were being informed by the very first time by this document?
To illegally put them in mailboxes. That's illegal.
No, we put them outside the mailboxes.
It's illegal.
In the mailbox. Okay, how many of y'all are on the survey?
Just a second.
Survey beneficial. Well, all right. Anyhow, it's not the right forum for that. We'll address it.
You can get back, you know.
Y'all are seriously not making. This committee.
Okay, next question. Through. You can have a question. Next question.
I have a question. You've already made my
My name is Summer Yen, and I'm a recent resident. I'm curious if the committee can tell me, in an annexation scenario, what the implications would be to our community in terms of permitting, waste facilities, and water costs.
You are in Travis County Water District number 17. You would remain in that. They are supplying wastewater to other portions which are not within Hudson Bend. The majority of Hudson Bend residents, as you know, are on a separate system. You would stay that way. Because you're within 2,500 feet, most of you, or a lot of you, within Lake Travis, you fall under the LCRA septic tank regulations. So in their inspections and their permitting, and that would all remain the same. The federal law was passed that encouraged strongly, so most cities since 1967 have adopted what's called the International Residential Building Code and the International Fire Code. You are under ESD number 6, your Lake Travis Fire Department, so they have a fire inspector. They enforce your fire code now on their commercial businesses. The International Residential Building Code is just about what everybody uses. So that's where I was talking about for Golden Team. They review the building plans that you would submit, okay, under the International Residential Building Code. And it comes out every year, but most cities, because you have to have a build-up time to educate yourself, this book, the International Residential Building Code, is huge. No, it comes out every year.
Every year. IBC only publishes every 3 years.
I get it every year. I don't know where Charles gets his, but we had to get ours every year, and all the changes came in a supplemental thing. But it's huge. But it's common sense things, like, you know, safety glass, the wood, the electrical, the more aluminum wiring. And you need somebody who's up on that. And that's what we negotiated with the code enforcement officer, the building inspection, and the building manager.
Did that answer your question?
Well,
what we think, if the city does annex us and somebody has a property that's not up to code and they try to pull a permit, what will happen? Are they grandfathered or will they have to get their property up to code before they can get a permit?
You say annex or incorporated?
In an annexation scenario, where the city annexes us.
The answer?
So you're asking that if the city of Austin annexes you?
Yeah, he wants it the other way.
Right. As you've probably seen from their ads, both on the internet, on television, and in the radio, they are having to be a massive code enforcement campaign and push, and they're asking for volunteers within different neighborhoods. So, usually it's small cities. I've worked in small cities. I live in a small city. I've lived in Sunset Valley for 25 years, and I've never seen a code enforcement officer. So, again, it's based on what you as a community want. Now, if you as a community pass a law that said, like, one that tends to be somewhat popular in small cities is that my neighbor, two doors down, had a three-story trash pile. So we had, all of us on the street had a little bit of a problem with that. So, you know, but by approaching him and saying, look, you know, we're gonna, you know, we want you to take care of this, and if we have to pay for it, we'll pay for it. And that's the kind of thing that happens because y'all know each other. When you become part of the city of Austin, you're going to be one of millions. And your, you know, your chance of your voice being heard in this entire process will be minimal. I was mayor of Sunset Valley. I was on the council for 12 years. Every agreement that the city of Austin made with us from our, you know, using our creeks for their wastewater lines, from taking in our ETJ so they wouldn't get built heavily duty developed out, they broke every promise they made. Every promise. So, you know, the city of Austin is going to take care of the city of Austin. The city of Austin is going to do what's good for city of Austin.
Our next question.
No, it was Jerry.
One of the things I've been doing in the attempt at due diligence is to understand what is the impact.
Very little person, please.
Pardon?
Yeah, louder.
So, what does it mean to be an Austin ETJ? Some of you know, one of our donors knows that if you were, if your grandparents were unfortunate to have purchased a piece of property that was beautiful, but under City of Austin ETJ ordinances, it's basically unbuildable because of what LCRA did back in the 70s. Because of what City of Austin did in the 70s and the most current regulations for the watershed protection ordinances, that's what ensures Austin's thumb on the development of Hudson Bend. Will that change if Hudson Bend is annexed? As Barbara had said, they're going to take scripting. One of the things I was looking at, is there a poison pill we could apply to keep from being annexed without going all this trouble looking? Incorporation, yada yada. You know, I found a poison pill. I emailed it late to Fulton yesterday and reread it again and realized, oops, That's really poison. It will kill you. If you have inadvertently increased your impervious cover or done something which could have violated any of the watershed protection ordinances, when it comes around and you want to attempt to subdivide, and they decide, whatever reason, they're going to annex you, and you've got a chunk of land, they're under no obligation to put in sewer, water. For that matter, the law says, and I've got it right here, Mike can look at it, if you have violated any of these codes, they can cut off your utilities. You can say, what the heck, no problem, they don't give us water, we don't give us sewage. Everybody out here gets electricity from Austin Energy. They can cut you off if you have violated any of the watershed protection ordinances. Now, I'm the messenger, you can shoot me, but that's what goes on.
My name is Steve Vaughn. I live down the road here, been there for 25, 30 years, been sailing Lake Travis for probably 40, 45 years. And the most disturbing thing I've heard today is the concept that there's a winner and loser. I don't think that represents what I want. I don't particularly have the energy or desire or age to want to embed myself in this to a leadership perspective. But I see two groups. I see a Hudson Bend Property Owners Alliance. I see a Hudson Bend Incorporation Committee. We're all apparently from Hudson Bend, and I think we all would agree we would like to do what Hudson Bend wants. Mm-hmm. Rather than having two divided groups that are fighting, why don't we merge the groups and get both opinions at the same table and see if we can't come out with a little bit more consensus? So this isn't the winning and losing game.
Actually, if I can speak to that, I think the only, I hate referring to the, I call them the loyal opposition, if we have any disagreement. I don't think that, I met one or two people, maybe totally, it may just be one, that actually wants to be annexed by Austin. So assuming that none of us want that, I think we're all on the same page. Our only disagreement is as to the timeline, and nobody knows the answer to that. The city of Austin says one thing. We're guessing another thing because they're already on this side of the dam. So our only disagreement is to the timeline. And I honestly agree with you and would like to work closely with them. You have a follow-up?
My question is, can we have a cooperation between the groups instead of a confrontation between the groups? Come up with a representation of Hudson Bay and get recommendation from that more inclusive group? Because right now it seems like there's two sides to this fence.
Well, that's a rhetorical question, and of course the answer is yes, and I hope that we are working in that direction.
Charles, are you working in that direction?
Honestly, I didn't want to be involved at all.
I understand that opinion, but you are. But you're reducing both sides, come back with a better recommendation than no yes.
Here's what I would like to see first. Is a committee, I'm sorry, I can speak loud, but I'll take the microphone too.
Like I said before, I didn't want any skin in the game to begin with. I have no political aspirations. I don't know if anybody on this committee might, but I have zero. I would like to return back to my quiet life and enjoy my neighbors. Now, I was forced into this because I took exception to somebody speaking to a government authority on my behalf. Amen. That's why I am here. It directly violated my personal privacy, and they certainly didn't have a voice speaking to me. So that said, we have asked, we have pleaded, we have recommended to this committee, take a census of this community first and see what the consensus is before you move forward. They have refused to do it. So under that condition, I cannot work with this committee.
I'm also the best one. I would like to ask a business. How are we going to get a consensus if we don't present the actual fact?
How are you going to make a decision, yes or no, if you don't have the facts? My colleagues have worked pretty hard on coming out with the facts. I don't want to change anything about them. Man. I've been here 25 years. I like it like this. I see what happened when Austin does take you over, and it's not pretty. Property, whatever we used to do with our trash piles and our stuff will change. And yes, they can cut you off. I've seen what Austin code enforcement can do, and I really don't want to see it here. And as they all said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I'd rather be proactive, and all these people have done a lot of work to be proactive. They have the facts. We all want the same thing. Instead, we can take a survey, and the answer of the survey will be, we all don't want to be in Austin. We all want to be at some bend. We all want to be our own thing that we've done so far. Well, come to us, look at the facts, look at the figures, and then, as Monty described the process, you have plenty of opportunity to say yes or no. Nothing has been done in your name yet.
No, it has. We ask a question. Do I need to cite the letter again?
We have the letter.
So I'd like to just answer, and I'm sorry, can you tell me your name again?
Me?
Huh?
Steve. I'm Steve Vaughn, like Steve Ray. Yay!
So Steve, the answer to your question is, the reason we can't work together is because this group cannot let go of the fact that they didn't get involved when they had the chance. And you can tell from their reaction here. Exactly.
It's the same thing. You're
exactly. It's the same thing over and over again.
What's the future? What you guys going forward?
Right.
It's
whatever they say we want, they want to do.
The can of worms has been opened.
Right, so right now it's just information, and you vote, you will get to vote any way you want, if we get to a voting point, but we can't even get to a voting point until we get the information out there. And so we're being criticized for getting the information out there by a very small group of people. The majority of people that I've spoken to, many of whom are not here, have been very positive about wanting to incorporate.
Yes, my name is Marcia Paisley, and I want to ask a question, and I want everybody to be quiet while you think about this. If you want to ever be annexed by the city of Austin, I want you to stand up so we can see who you are.
I'd rather be represented by the devil okay. I know than the devil that I talk to.
Okay, now, the second point. So no one here wants to be annexed by the city of Austin.
No, we just want.
We heard the other end of our question.
He didn't want to be annexed by the city. He was saying something else. He stood up and not about that. Here's the thing. This committee is really, it's just like if somebody decides I'm going to run for president, I'm going to see. It's an exploratory committee to find out the information that we all need to know what we need to do. Do we want to do it? These people, as everyone that's spoken up there, at least my sense of it is that none of us want to be annexed. None of us want to pay more than we have to. None of us want code enforcement breathing down our neck, but we also don't want a 3-mile trash next to us. You know, we want to be able to be reasonable. And I think that all we need to do is, I think we need to take a breath and realize these people are not running us into some kind of big city government. They're just trying to find out how we can keep from being annexed.
Right.
If you.
Thank you.
I'm here to gather information to be presented mutually to my members of my homeowners association. So I want to take this back to a question about the budget and the formation. And I don't think you answered this. You mentioned the fire protection, but I've got a member of our HOA is on that board. Mm-hmm. So can you explain what would happen with fire protection, whether it's still be under the ESD
right.
or what?
You stay under the ESD, all right? Even if the city of Boston came in right now, you would stay under the ESD the way the law is written at the legislature.
What does that stand for?
Emergency Service District. I'm sorry. The legislation that created these were first called, and y'all old enough to remember, fire districts, and then they had separate emergency districts, and now they're just called ESDs, Lake Travis Fire Department. All right?
All right.
And they have signed a civil service contract, which would make it even more complicated at their board. All right? So you would remain under ESD. If there is any remaining sales tax available, that they get it. So right now, okay, like let's take Lakeway, they're only getting, 0.25% sales tax there. Here, they're getting 1.75% because you don't have the Capital Metro 1% tax, you don't have the city 1% tax, but you do have the library tax. So all of your sales tax that would normally gone, that 1% of that to you if you incorporated is going to the ESD board management.
And you wouldn't have to look at a contract.
No ma'am. You are covered. You are paying taxes, you are covered.
All right, next question.
My name is Robert Dalkor. I'm a resident here. Two things. One about the question of does anybody want to be annexed by Austin?
No.
I think that can of worms would be smaller than a can of worms of a city, some group needing mayor and wanting power. It seems
that you
would understand this. We have a paid lawyer up here that's being paid by a group that wants to incorporate Hudson Den. Is that what I understand it, Heather? And who's actually paying the lawyer?
The donations?
All of y'all, is this the group who writes
the donations that we've received.
And why?
The cash donations that people have already given to us.
Yeah, why? Why did you guys get together and think you should start some City of Lakeway thing? Who is there? It seemed like kind of a power trip to me.
Alton, you were at the very beginning, so I understand. Can you tell them how this came about and what my words on this?
Well, I did give the history, like I say, when people show up to the meetings, they do not want to be annexed by Austin. You can either do something about it or just not do something about it. If you never do anything about it, you will be annexed by Austin. Our only disagreement is through the timeline. So that's how it happened. You're either apathetic politically or you want to do something. It's fine with us if you're on the other side. It's just the apathy, that we shouldn't do anything. We can't be criticized for being politically interested in preserving Hudson Bend, even if our idea how to do it may be different than yours.
Hi, I'm Nancy Wise. I think we can all agree that we do not agree. But what I would like to say is, first off, thank you for numbers. These are some of the first numbers that I have seen. What I would like to ask, though, is the group that is not necessarily in favor of this be able to present their numbers in case they do differ so that we can look at data. We shouldn't be making any of these decisions without looking at data. And I think everybody wants Hudson Bend to be the best it can be when we be a community and a neighborhood again. So please, let's look at data and make decisions objectively and let's remove the emotional aspect of this.
I want to
say something real quick. I'm David Holmes again, for those of you who got here after I introduced myself. I'm going to have to go in not too long, so I just wanted to say this real quickly. When I'm not running for county commissioner, I'm a mediator. And like you brought up just now, there are a lot of emotions here. And I've heard some interesting commonalities of the two sides. The two sides are the multiple perspectives of it. And I just want to offer that as this all goes forward, if there is ever a need that I can help in any way, if there are ever people that want to sit down and have, whether it doesn't have to be a formal mediation, but have a structured, smaller conversation, I would be happy to volunteer my services to do that. So just wanted to offer that in case that would ever be a help.
Thank you.
I'm still Carol Johnson, haven't changed that. But to this group, I think the opposition is to the seeming representation of everybody in Hudsonville in the letter that went to Austin. That can't be turned back because my magic wand might just not. But where I see the biggest opportunity is if this group agrees not to have that conversation with Austin as if they're representing ship to shore of Hudson Bend, and really to have these kind of conversations such that people now know to go look and know that, yes, if you were going to gate your community, as which we have one in Hudson Bend that's gated, they are responsible for their roads. So we might want to look at what they're paying to figure out, is that number accurate? Because they would be part of Hudson Bend now.
You mean Lakeland?
No, right up here on the hill.
Oh.
Lakeland? And both of them, they have to pay because they gate it. Remember, that's what we looked at it. Yep. Reserves Hudson Bend.
I just think you're wrong development.
I'm not paying attention to you in the time and clock because I haven't seen
it. Actually, I gave extra time to you.
Well, good, but I'm still talking. But my point is that these kind of activities would help if we had your commitment not to go to the city representing all of us until we had that opportunity. Whether we poke the bear and then the city of Austin says, yeah, we're annexing you and you got 2 minutes. I don't know. But if you agree not to annex to represent yourself in that manner again.
Speaking of 2 minutes, you're now at 2 minutes. We do want to have a civil discussion and the 1 minute limit on questions. You get to make quite a bit of speech in a minute and ask a question at the end. We think that is very reasonable. And our main concern with these meetings is that we have the free exchange of information and the civil discussion among everybody involved. I'll answer the question about what the step is. It's the petition, and it has, as I said, a very high bar. That's the next step. No more letters to be written or anything to do like that. It's to take a petition. There's a 6-month time limit, and it is a very high bar. Once we embark upon it, we must finish.
All right, next question.
My name is Leanne Garland, and I've been on here since 2008. I have two things to say. Number one, they've got some great facts and figures, and they presented it to you on paper. This gentleman has gone to a lot of trouble and pulled out some great facts and figures in comparison.
Where are they?
Tell them where the website is.
Your website.
But his facts are not right, right? I don't go on his website. What he's announced, his facts are not factual. They're not correct, right?
There's not a whole lot in there. Figures, I mean.
Okay, so here's my suggestion. Is for everybody to look at both sides of the picture. That's what everybody wants to do, right? Get both sides of the picture, and then let the committee commit to doing a poll before you move forward.
Have we taken him to task on this?
Pardon?
Have we taken him to task on this? Is this correct or is this not correct?
Actually, there is a misunderstanding about the legal process. The next step is a poll. It is a petition. It is a poll. That's That's what it is. The petition is a poll, and it has a very high bar. It requires a majority of both the voters and the property owners. I have no idea who is next.
The lady with the dark shirt.
Everybody, please, let these folks answer. Ask the questions and answer them. So they're going to jump in, they're going to get all the information.
Hi, my name's Matt. I'm in Total Circle. However, often I've been to four meetings. Each meeting started at the water district meeting. And at that meeting, Monty gave some great information, as well as you, Barbara. However, it doesn't mean you guys are all pro, and a lot of us are still on the fence trying to decide. But what chaps my ass is that you went to the city and wrote a letter representing us, and there was no petition. And it's confusing because I would think that before that happens, that you would get a petition out there saying yay or nay. Not just at the meetings, getting people's signatures and email addresses. And every time I ask you a question going forward at the meeting at the restaurant, what do you have planned for the future? You just kept telling me, well, just go look at the information. I want to know going forward what we got planned. I'm not convinced, but I think you really, truly have opened up a can of worms. They're
going to
look at us now.
Let me answer this. You said we're all pro incorporation. I'm a fence sitter. That's why I'm here. I, you know, offered to Alton. You know, he asked me if I'd like to volunteer. I'm thinking, like Charlie, hey, I would just as soon not. I've got a full plate. I don't need to spend time on this. It isn't going to happen. But due diligence person in me said, let's see what this is about. This is what this is about. I apologize if you feel, you know, that we do not represent everybody up here. I represent me. I made an honest effort to contact my neighborhood association 5 months ago with regard to this issue. They never responded.
About the letter
that going forward. I was waiting. What do you guys think? They still don't know what they think. Right? We had a meeting. We said, let's put together a poll. I'm answering your question. We intend, at least I do, Charlie and I, I started on putting together questions for a poll. Right? Is that not correct? Maybe you haven't started. I have.
Honestly, right now, I'm not going to even respond to you.
We have the meetings of the minutes. We have the minutes of the meeting.
They also show people
wealthy people. Please hold the calls.
I know some very wealthy people out here.
Very wealthy people.
I didn't say there's wealthy people on the board.
Our next question.
Show me the tape.
Yeah. Our next question.
I am offended by your accusations, quite frankly. I am trying to be civil.
Did you sign that letter that went to the city of Austin?
I did. My name's on there.
Did you represent people as you stated in that letter?
I did not represent.
You said you stand here on your own, but yet your letter says you represented the entire Hudson Bend community.
No, it didn't. No, that's not what it said.
I need a microphone.
No, it's not what it said.
It is not what it said.
It does say it.
Represented everybody. I asked Charlie, would resign from this committee if you would like to be on it. You know what his answer was? No, I don't want to be on the committee. I don't want to be involved.
All right.
We're stooping to their level. So we need to.
Can you address the concerns that have been brought up over and over that simply going to Austin, city of Austin, opened the can of worms, poked the bear, awakened the sleeping giant. That's what I'm hearing over and over again. I want the committee to address whether that just even approaching City of Boston, did that materially affect or not how the City of Boston plans its annexations?
I'm certainly not qualified to speak for the City of Boston, particularly because it's a brand new city council and brand new perspective. In my experience, in my opinion, it made no difference. They're not planning to annex you anytime soon. But if the petition gets filed, they'll then have 6 months to make a decision. And that's when the rubber will hit the road. But in order for this group, that group, any group to know where to go next, the question had to be asked, would you release us from the ETJ? And it was this group that asked, but it could have been any of them. I mean, anybody could have asked that question. If you want to blame somebody, blame me, because my initial advice, and I've been doing municipal law for 1 year, was find out if the city will release you so you don't have to go through the petition process. And then the matter will be decided at the polls straight up. So again, I felt like they did the right thing, still do. Sorry that it upset some people, but that certainly wasn't the intention.
Our next question.
It's just all I can do. My name's Neil McLean, and I'm actually a neighbor of Carol's. But I don't know how the letter was worded, but maybe if it would have opened up saying something like, we represent a portion of the landowners, might have saved a lot of trouble. A lot of upset here and here. But one thing I want to know is, why do we have to move so quickly? HB, the House bill, and the Senate bill come up in 2017. I read them over this morning. They're really essentially the same, I think. I skimmed them over. Why can't we wait and see how that goes before, you know, we go to an petition? And as part of that, what could we be looking at to be more active and proactive in helping, you know, influence that legislation? Have a more activism approach. Because from what I read, if that thing's passed, they have to have our majority to annex us.
That is correct. And in fact, we have always had it in our plan to pursue the legislation. The only thing is that we don't, you know, after 35 years of no substantive changes in the law, of annexation law, if that was the last major reworking of it, we just don't think that we can bet that we can wait for another, I think it's a year and a half now. You know, that legislation's dead, and it will be reintroduced in much the same form. And we just don't know what will happen in a year and a half. And then we, if it doesn't pass in a year and a half, we don't know what will happen 2 years from then. Every year or two that passes by makes this area more attractive to Austin. So we agree it would be great if we never had to incorporate. And I'm gonna hope I don't pretend to be a lawyer right now, but I did sleep in a Holiday Inn. But the tendency of the law is not to have large population densities without eventually incorporating. I just figured that that is mass psychology. If there's anything Monty has to add to that, he's welcome to. But we do want to pursue the legislative angle. I think that we're in a unique position here because the Capitol, the legislature, does not particularly love Austin. We're within driving distance, at least. I don't like driving over there. It's quite a ways to me. And I keep telling them if they like us so much, they ought to drive out here. And none of them's taken me up on the offer yet. I think we're in a unique position to lobby for that. And we have a lot of expertise in that area. I just don't want to bet the whole farm on it. That's all.
I'm not saying to bet, but I think we got time. We have the 10 years. 10 years is the nearest anybody will say to
Well, but
so,
2 years. Look at 2 years.
Well, I mean, we have time for the next legislative session. I keep saying that you should have incorporated 10 years ago because then it would have been a petition of 50 people, 50 people only, and then it would have been a vote. That would have been it. Now there's a much higher bar getting out of the ETJ. So we have a double thing that we have to do the petition of both the property owners and the voters just to get an election. So we have to have basically an election to have an election. So when people ask for a survey, this is the one that we're referring to, the legally mandated one. But every year that passes by makes it more difficult to get out of the ETJ. So that's, we're just trying to be proactive in that regard.
Is there a way we could raise the level of urgency and priority with our representative workmen to drive this thing in the House?
We're discussing that. I mean,
you can help us.
Yeah.
We're discussing that.
Yeah. Hold on to the next question.
The last time I spoke, I said I'm not going to get up again. I want to go on record and say that I am a liar. But I felt compelled. There are 2 points I'd like to make. One is, the lady back here said we're kind of accosting and we're doing nothing but gathering facts. We're doing nothing but gathering facts, we wouldn't be getting this kind of feedback. I don't know if you're listening or not, but the point is, we have not done a poll, and the poll you're talking about is a step forward for being incorporated. That's not what we're asking for. We're asking for understanding what 51% or more of the property owners want in terms of the corporation before we do any formal steps. That's the point. Are you listening? Are you working?
Thank you.
I'm going to make a comment. I was trying to talk up here earlier.
You hear me all right?
I was trying to talk up here earlier while there's more people here, but right. On the map, Linda was there to point out from the plan future annexations. Over here where it says often limited purpose, which means the way I understand it is they get to consume for your tax dollars without necessarily providing services. So they're all the way up Lake Austin, all the way up to the dam. Then they took a portion of 620 all the way to the dam. Right now, from what I understand, a couple years ago they said Austin's going to more than double the next 10 years. More than 100 people are moving to Austin every day. We're this far away. Do you think it's going to be 30 to 40 years before they move here to here?
Yes.
I don't think so. Yes. I don't think
no, it won't be.
I mean, yeah. Austin doubling. If we're right over here, I can't. I don't want to bet the house on it's not going to happen because if once they put us into the annexation plan, there is no vote. There will be zero vote, zero poll to do that. Once Austin comes here and puts us in there, that's it. End of story. It's a done deal.
Thank you.
Next question.
My question is about the future government that you want. In 2014, all of you said you wanted to go into politics. So are you planning on being our first mayor? Because a lot of the meetings have been, I promised you this, I promised you that, we promised you that, and we promised you this. What are your political aspirations with Hudson Bend? When you moved here, did you already have this in your thoughts?
I never thought that we would have the.
I never thought that the Facebook thing would turn into anything, but it did. Actually, I've always, oddly enough, I think regard myself as a poor public speaker, and never thought that I would have any to do with politics at all. But I did in the valley. Actually, I used to drive up and fight the corrupt water supply. I used to drive to the Capitol, and so that was about my limit of involvement in politics. Just a second, and so this struck me as very unusual personally that there was this much interest, and also struck me as unusual that I would be leading it. But I think that it's fine. I think that I'm well intended, and I think that everybody, you know, the attacks on the effort bother me because I see a lot of support in the community. I see opposition too. But I see support in the community, and I see the good intentions of my fellow community members. As the one is traditional, when an area incorporates, I'll let Monty speak to that.
This is the last time you're going to hear me speak, because I'm going to go home and look strong. I've been an attorney for about 40 years, but that's not my real love. My real love is history and writing. And you can go online, my website, I'm the author of six books. My seventh one will come out next year, and they're all history related. If someone was going to ask me why should Hudson Bend incorporate, it really wouldn't have anything to do with annexation by Austin, or tax rates, or budgets, or whether Austin would make a great mayor. My reason would be because Hudson Bend has a unique history. You've been a community longer than Austin. You deserve, the state of Texas deserves, to have the community of Hudson Bend continue, and probably the only way that can happen is by incorporation. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but someday. Maybe the law will change, maybe it won't. My experience is, again, that the longer you wait, the better prepared the larger city is to annex. So, I'm going to leave now, but and all of the numbers, the dollar figures, they're all available. There have been so many little cities like you that have done it in different ways. Our firm is represents the city attorney for 15 cities in the state. Some of them are very small, much smaller than Hudson Bend would be. Many of them are not many of them, but some of them do not have any property taxes. They get by on franchise fees and sales tax. I've got at least one that has nobody but a city secretary, the only paid employee. So you can construct it the way you want to construct. You've got enough interest that you could be a fairly large city, a fairly populous city, or small and very low government, low economics. But anyway, that said, I'm going to hit the road because I don't think I can do any more in here. I do appreciate it. And I'll quite frankly admit that I do have some aspirations. I would hope that if the community ever does incorporate, that you would consider letting me be your city attorney, because that's what I do. And because I know I have the ability and the interest. But if that doesn't turn around, that'll be just fine as well. Thank you,
Monty. My name is Walter Allen. I've been out here since 1984. Many of you know me, some of you know. We have several HOAs in this area. And as far as mailing lists, some people aren't on the mailing list, but each of the HOAs does have a mailing list of every member in your community. That's number one. Two, if you get each president of every homeowners association in Hudson Bend and get them to talk to their members, because I believe we all want the same thing. Not necessarily incorporation, but we do not want to be annexed. If it comes to incorporating, none of us are in disagreement with that. So will you agree to not proceed any further until all the HOAs have been in contact, if you can get in contact with each of the HOAs, and get a consensus of every member in each of those HOAs, where we need to go from there. And let's have another big meeting like this. I do not appreciate the committee going and speaking for me on my behalf. And I think a lot of people have said that. So we're going to leave the sleeping dog lie for now. So I want you to agree that you will not proceed any further legally with any attorneys moving forward with any petitions until we talk to all the HOAs in this area. Will you agree to that?
I will tell you that we've looked for all of the HOAs, but we don't know how to find all of them. They are one way to deal with the community. We would love...
I've been in contact with all of them.
Well, that's good. Maybe if you'll send us the list, we'll be happy to have it, but it's difficult. There's difficult to go to any one place.
Do your meeting notices and give you the list?
It's difficult for us to find a comprehensive list of all the HOAs. For example, when we did the first mailing, we left out, I guess it's Lake Wind Estates. It just totally left out the whole subdivision. And you know, that subdivision correlates with that HOA. So We think that's a shame because then they're kind of offended by that. On the other hand, the one next door to him, Commander's Point, came to us and they're like, what can we do for you? I mean, they studied the issue and they're supportive. So we've seen ones come out for us. We've come out, seen them come out against us. We would love, we think that they're a great way to reach everybody in Hudson Bend. We just don't have a comprehensive list of them. But for example, we just met with an HOA, and then they're going to come out with a decision whether they support us or not, and it's a long process.
Are you agreeing to contact all the HOAs?
We're trying, yes, we're indeed trying. You know, we're trying.
That wasn't the answer.
Yeah, well, it's a qualified answer because I wish we had a list of HOAs. We've often looked for one.
All heard the expression is difficult. Heard this gentleman over here say he has the ability to make contacts. But the gentleman will let you share the information with us so we can make the contact and do something together. I'm in this committee on this side because I only know how to work hard on something that I'm for, not against, until I know I should be against. So,
exactly.
I'm on the fence, but leaning one way so I can do the work and get it done. And I want you all to come on in. Here's your chance if you so choose. I'm asking you, sir. You want to help give us the information so we can do the contact?
What caveat? Will you honor Walker's request?
No, he can't. He can't say that. He can't tell an
emotional
form. He can't ask you for a solid answer like
well,
that.
Well,
that's
order.
Yes, it was good.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you. All the
order.
Order. If that's not good enough, then you're out.
We're going to end the discussion today. We will take your information into consideration and try to contact those people and see if we can get a better form of all the HOAs in the community or join in. We made attempts to notify everybody where we could. We will try more so. That's why we passed out that list to get to people in the office so we can notify them. We will do it again in the future if there's a need to. We're giving the information to go there.